Well, good morning. There's my microphone. I like to hear myself, Matt. Thank you. We're back, and it's Thursday morning, and I am your host, Tom Moulton. And I'm with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, but before that, I was with Pima County and Old Tucson and Keno Sports Complex. So I've had a great time here in Tucson, been here since 1997. And I got a great friend across from me today. His name is Blake Eager. Good morning, Blake.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me. Can you, you've also been in the attractions business before you came to Tucson, though.
I mean, Six Flags.
Yeah, you have an extensive history.
Opryland, Funtime Incorporated. That was that's a whole story all in itself. When you work for a company called Funtime Incorporated, you don't have to tell people what your mission was. Yeah, you know, and if they weren't having any fun, they would blame me. You know, never been the director of fun. I've seen that title show up in many companies now, but normally they can put the ping pong tables and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's mostly the tech companies that have that. So you know, they're there. Maybe hopefully they have a 10-hour day if they're get to play ping pong or take a nap. No naps over in the 45-plus career. But is our friend Tim Bimmerstead on the phone yet? Or
No Tim yet today.
Okay, great. Tim, well, good morning, everyone. And we are going to talk a lot about sports and tourism, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, I think it's important, Blake, to always mention you know, what we've had in the context of what we're doing. Because for various reasons, we lost spring training. And that was one of the reasons why I was brought into the county, was to help manage the marketing of the Keno Sports Complex. And now we have a wonderful person that is running it, and we'll let Blake talk about her, not quite yet, but and she just got married. So she's not only got probably one of the greatest jobs in Pima County, but she's now found love, and she's a happy, happy person last time I talked to her. So it's good to have somebody happy in their job, isn't it, Blake? So
yeah, you don't always find that, so it's always a positive and a plus, and Sarah Horvath is definitely, she's happy in her job, but she's very, very good at her job.
And it seems like whenever you and I are together, we always talk about Sarah. She was my risk manager when I was at Pima County, and we didn't always have such happy times during those inspections, but we were happy when everything was fixed after those inspections, so, and the public was a lot more safer with Sarah around. And now with Sarah in her new job, I've said it many times, she was not appointed. She really wanted that job.
Yeah.
And she went after it. And there's a big difference. You know, I'm not saying that all appointed folks don't do a great job, but she changed her careers and just doing a great job at Keno Sports Complex. So thank you, Sarah. I know you're up like we are at 37 degrees outside, and we got here. And Blake, thanks for waking up early this morning. Normally at this time, our co-host talks about a couple of his favorite special events that are happening this weekend, and. You know what? The Christmas parade, Blake, is back.
Okay.
And, you know, and
that's exciting.
And I missed the email about being on the Arizona Bowl float, because last year they put that big helmet on the float.
Yeah, absolutely.
With music and lights and everything. And I presume, I forgot to ask Ben yesterday, they sponsored the Rotarian meeting yesterday when we had the president of the U of A there, and because U of A is obviously a big supporter of the Arizona Bowl. And you know what? This Sunday, we're going to find out the two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're going to be there.
It's 11 to 1, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Yeah. Matt, have you heard about that? Or
Sunday, yes. Grant Elbert Union Public House.
Yeah. So we're going to find out not only what's going on with the Arizona Bowl and who's going to be playing, we're also going to find out what bowl game the U of A is going to be
in. Correct.
And what a great game that was, huh?
Huh? 9-3? Oh, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, I didn't see the first part, but I had to take a second look at my phone when I saw that score.
Yeah,
and they did they were showing the highlights.
So did a lot of Sun Devil fans. But
it's nothing better than being in a packed stadium, and certainly in the Territorial Cup. And I don't know what the record is, Blake. Do you remember? Is it we don't always win, do we?
No, I don't know what their overall record is. But, yeah, I mean, it was a huge win. They did a great job. The defense shut out ASU in the second half, obviously. Brennan's done just a phenomenal job in steering the ship around. They've got a great recruiting class coming in. They've got a couple of four-stars. They just flipped a four-star from Kansas State. So, the program's, you know, up and coming, and it's ready to go. And Brennan feels like a guy who will stay in Tucson for the long run.
Well, of course, what happens with the U of A coaches, they first year is it's not their recruitment class. The second year, they're able to really get the right coaches in place and obviously get some of the players they want. But, you know, often they don't stick around for the third or fourth year.
Yeah, it does happen.
Not necessarily because of their it's because of other things. There's all kinds of things that happen. But a lot of it is that once you get to be successful, there's sometimes a bigger school that offers more money. And it's not unusual for the U of A to be paying two or three coaches at the same time, because they have to honor the contracts, and that's a good thing. U of A does honor the contracts, and you know, but yes, let's absolutely hope that he's going to be with us for the third and magical fourth year, and let's go Wildcats, right? You know, absolutely. It's one of the things that we're trying to do with the Arizona Bowl. Is pack the house as well. And of course, sometimes I heard yesterday in the sponsorship talk from Kim Adair, one of the very few females in that position as an executive director. And it was a great find. I worked with her in the economic development days, mid part of my career with Pima County, and she was certainly a rock star back then as well. It was called GTEC, mm-hmm. and then became Trio, and now it's the Southern Arizona Chamber. So there's a little history there for all you economic development buffs. But I think what's happened with the Arizona Bowl, we hit a celebrity spokesperson right at the changing the top of his new career. And the fact that he was on the Olympics and he was on The Voice, and of course I'm talking about Snoop Dogg. And yesterday our St. Phillips Plaza host, Grant, was talking about what's happened to the product that he's endorsed, and he was talking about how alcohol finds its way into the bars, and it's not that easy to get, because you only had a limited space. He was talking about, Matt, you were there, and he did talk about that wonderful new product that he has. It has a little bit of gin in it, a little bit of juice, and of course that's why you sponsor something, because Tucson. They've done wonderful things for the community and the charities, and of course it's the only bowl game. And out of 24 bowl games, or that seems to be a number that's stuck in my head around the United States, and we're the only ones, meaning the Arizona Bowl, 100% of its net proceeds go to charities.
Yeah, in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, in Southern Arizona. Yes, we got to be true to our geographic area. And I was able to, last year for the bowl, go to several of the charities and present the check.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God.
It's an amazing thing, right?
Yeah, whether it was 5 or 10 or 15, it did not make a difference.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the CEO that came out. Or the president. It was the entire staff that showed up for the check presentations. And you got goosebumps, for the entire time. And the thank yous unbelievable. And, you know, it's a small staff out there, you know, Eric and Kim and Ben and
who's that?
You know,
and Dell.
Yeah, and Dell. Can't forget about Dell, Mr. Football.
Or Luzette.
Yeah, or Luzette. Yeah. Thank you. She's
a glue.
You office with them.
I do. So, I'm fortunate enough to. They allow me to have an office in their building.
Yes, absolutely. Well, of course, you're in Sports Authority. It makes a lot of sense that you were able to secure an office up there. And, of course, the founder is downstairs.
Ollie Farhang.
Yes, and that used to be the MTCVB office.
Yeah, Visit Tucson.
Yeah, and they sold it to Ollie and Tim.
Tim Medcock.
Yeah, and you took over the old marketing wing up there on the third floor, and you have your own elevator that gets up there.
I do, yeah.
The secret elevator.
Yeah, my own set of stairs.
We don't know who's up there during the day, but no, they're a tight-knit group, and I saw them all yesterday when they were sponsoring the U of A presentation to the Rotary Club. So we had a great time, and of course, Kim is looking forward to Sunday and seeing Grant, one of our hosts, our Wednesday hosts there, being very much a big part of the Arizona Bowl, and having them at the, and of course, you know, it is a Sunday, so he's expecting us to celebrate a little bit, and you know, probably, you know, have some lunch or something like that. And that, and I've been to 9 of them now. It's because it's the 10th
anniversary. That's impressive, Tom.
Well, I had an opportunity, much as that you have given me, to work and help in the Sports and Tourism Authority. Little history a lot of you all know the story. Is that we tried to save spring training, that's another story after the break. So we'll be right back with Blake Eager, and he never says the sports, you know, tourism, you know, film and workforce and authority. He has an acronym, and of course, Pima County's famous for acronyms. Well, this is the Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk, and we'll be right back with my special guest today and good friend, Blake Eager.
Steve Cropper. Just saw that he passed away yesterday at the age of 84, I believe. Stax Record studio legend. He played with the Blues Brothers and all sorts of just a prolific, prolific guitarist. Steve, rest in peace. This is a song he does called Crop Dustin'.
Well, good morning. I had to turn my headphone down there, Matt, when you bumped the volume up there. So good morning, Tucson, right?
Make sure you're awake, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being behind the glass, as General Maxwell says every Tuesday. We have a great lineup Monday through Friday, and you know, I follow Grant, and I have to tell you, he's a hard act to follow. Some people say that I put twice as many words for the same subject. I would say Grant does three times as much, and I never hear an Matt. I mean, you and I are working on that, right, together, you know, and I'm very conscious of that, and we used to do that with Steve Lynn. From
really?
Norton's and Lynn days. That guy could get, he was the kind of the interim CEO of Trio when Catherine and I were helping them start up that new economic development group back in 2005. He would go and have a talk about Trio, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunity, quite the name. And he would never, first of all, he never used notes, which we were kind of, wow, how's he doing this and keeping his thoughts? And we never heard an one time, whether it was 5 minutes speech or 15 minutes. And I asked him one time, what is your, he says, my mother. We didn't have the problem like in California where everything's like this and like and like. And when we did an she said, you got to be thinking about what you're saying before you open your mouth. And I'm not sure I know, I have the theory completely understood, because when I hear myself sometimes, Blake, after this radio show, I go like, God, that was two and Oz are in one sentence? What the heck is going on here? So, well, good morning, everyone. We are here and back in this Bustos Media, KVY Studios with Matt behind the glass, and our special guest is Blake Eager. And we're here to talk about Blake's current, gig, as some of us talk about, as far because we don't really have jobs, because we have so much fun when we go in every day. Blake, we won't talk a lot about your history, but I do have admiration for you because I was a pitcher as well through Little League. I remember the beginning of the year when we all assembled in Little League. I was 9 or 10 years old. And the new coach would say, "What did you guys do last year? What position you played?" Well, you know, I was a little tired of playing right field. You know, I was better hitter than I was a fielder. But he says, "Has anybody here been a pitcher?" And so I never lied before that, you know. And he says, "Great." So we had four people raise their hand as pitchers. And every fourth game, I got the pitch, and it was the beginning of a wonderful pitching career. Took it all the way through college, but a small number. What do you call that? The way you measure colleges? We were not tier one, or what do they call it?
T3.
Yeah, we were T3. And a lot of the folks from those colleges, Kalamazoo and Albion and Adrian, and, you know, come here and play softball, fast pitch softball, with the Tigas group. And so I got to meet a lot of the athletic directors from my time in college, which was a long time ago. We used to do some interesting things, Blake. On strengthening our wrists, and of course that's pitching is all about the wrist and how you release the ball. And I made it when we started learning how to throw curveballs and knuckleballs, and I was probably more of an off-speed pitch guy. I think I've asked you this question: your fastball. How fast did you make it through in your career?
Top side was 95, but I sat 88, 92, 93.
That's still pretty darn good.
Yeah, it was
fine. You know, I was 80.
Not in today's standards. That's not.
Well, yeah, you see 90 plus.
97.
Plus. Yeah, all the time. But you were a pitcher, and you made it all the way into the big leagues, as they say. And I couldn't have think a better person that when this job came available, because the original beginnings of the Sports Authority was when we were trying to bring in an extra spring training team here in 1997 when we were building the Keno Sports Complex, and of course the Diamondbacks were a brand new team. And Jerry said, "Wait, I got a good friend in Chicago, and his name was Jerry too." So he brought the White Sox. The next thing you know, we had the Colorado Rockies. We had three teams, and we had that was one of the reasons why I was brought into Pima County. Let's just say politely and politically, some days, you know, it was difficult to work with the government. And so I came in, and as a non-government person, and as a, not quite the career that you had, Blake, but, you know, an understanding and a love for baseball. And I never had a problem with any of the three teams. You know, the White Sox and the Diamondbacks were wonderful people to work with. And it was okay when they told us that it's our stadium for 6 weeks. I was okay with that, you know? And I think that Sarah has adopted that policy as well, that when she brings in a team and a client to play sports at the Keno Sports, that, you know, they're the product, okay? And that's the reason why people are going to Keno Sports Complex. So early days, Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, one of the things that really came out of that was youth sports. And I'm going to leave it there, Blake, because I think you have done a wonderful job in youth sports. So let's learn just a little bit about this, what you're doing, and how important that first word, sports, is to our economy here in town.
Well, I mean, you just kind of talked about it right now with youth sports. It's a $54 billion industry. So, you know, Tucson has the facilities to be in the top 10% in the country. I think we can do a lot better job of marketing ourselves and being out there. I think we are consistently trying to learn there and evolve and grow. But as a destination, Tucson should be at the tip of everybody's tongue when you're talking about youth sports and why it's important to come out here and support it. But the growth of the economic development and impact to the community is substantial when we're talking about youth sports. So I've been very fortunate in my position. You know, I've been working on a lot of tourism stuff lately, but the sports is always going to be in my heart as we move forward. And the expectation is that we continue to grow both on the professional side, amateur side, and youth sports.
So Matt has warned us that we're coming into a break. And we're going to talk a lot more about what Blake is doing and some of the vision of the Sports and Tourism Film and Authority. And we'll be right back. This is Tom Moulton. We're on 10:30 a.m., but we're also on YouTube, and we're also on Facebook. So
10:30 The Voice.
We're live.
10:30 The Voice.
We can see our picture right here. Thank you. And we'll be right back. We're back, and my name's Tom Moulton, and I'm your host every Thursday. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow with his University of Arizona lineup. You know, there's a new marketing guy out there at the U of A, so I'm wondering maybe Dr. Ackerley can shed some light on that if they're talking about rebranding, because generally that's what happens when a new marketing guru comes into town. And it's been, I bet you it's been, I don't know, 5, maybe 8 years. You know, we all get kind of messed up because of the pandemic, but you know, it's probably time to do a little rebranding, just like Tucson did with their rebranding. And we had that show on twice now. We had it live a month or so ago, and then Matt came to me and asked me, hey, what's your favorite show, because we're all going to be off on Thanksgiving. And we replayed the launch show of the new branding of Pima County with Visit Tucson with Lee, their VP of marketing. So that was a good choice, Matt. Thank you for your patience for us to determine what would be the right show. And then we had that RV guy on talking about how important our community is in the tourism side because of the wonderful RV parks, not just here in Tucson. I have to tell you, Blake, Casa Grande has some huge RV parks that make sometimes Voyager kind of looks a little bit small, even though Voyager and Rincon East and West and the others are really, we have a huge snowbird audience here, and they stay often. They stay the entire winter. And, you know, so the RV guy came on twice now too, as well, to tell us about how important the RV industry is here in town. And of course, what's happening with the RV industry is they are expanding because there's no really a lot of affordable housing in Casa Grande. They're out of houses, actually. And that a lot of the folks are getting, RV parks are getting permanent residence to Casa Grande because of the size of the RV parks. And of course, the RV parks have to accommodate the transient traffic. So guess what? The RV parks are growing as well. So, and of course, Blake and I work every day trying to figure out a way to get new visitors here. And youth sports is, we were talking about youth sports and how important youth sports is. And I you know, the great story, Blake, is when you sat down with your board and you strategized about what could we do with Mike Fader's Mexican Baseball Fiesta. And can we expand it beyond just what he's done on his own, Phoenix and Scottsdale?
Yeah, we were able to come up with a plan on how to expand, work with Frank Gomez. I've got breakfast with Frank this morning. I'm going to try to grab lunch next week with Mike Fader. And we looked at some different options. The two options that we came up with were Bisbee because of Warren Ballpark. And then we looked at Casa Grande and Pinal County, and Central Arizona College came on board as a partner. So we were able to actually bring professional baseball back to Pinal County. They hadn't had a professional baseball game since 1981 when the San Francisco Giants were spring training there at Francisco Grande. So very excited about that expansion. Giving those communities the opportunity to see professional baseball at that level is very important because it grows another sense of pride in both the sport, but it also grows a fan base and community fan base for Southern Arizona. So, I spoke to both Victor Cuevas and Victor Cuevas Jr. very early on about really adapting the Southern Arizona model from a fan base standpoint and not just specifically Tucson, because when you look at our expanding region, especially Pinal County, how fast it's growing, but you've got Sierra Vista and you've got Casa Grande that are both metro areas in Southern Arizona. You've got obviously Agua Prieta and Nogales, Sonora that are very large populations. I think Nogales, Sonora is upwards of 400,000 people. Agua Prieta is about 200,000, right? And within a 2-hour drive of Tucson. So understanding how that model is going to grow so we can define whether or not Tucson is a sports town and how it's going to maneuver. And that trickle down effect hits youth sports pretty aggressively, right? So when you're somebody young like myself, when I was growing up in Tucson and I had somebody in my backyard that I could root for, it allows you to think that that dream is possible, whether it's college, whether it's professional baseball, but it's within the grasp. And I think that's what we've done a pretty good job of, introducing these people to our communities and our surrounding communities, and we're going to continue to do that.
Yeah, and you've been a catalyst for renovation of these classic baseball stadiums in some of these areas, and I know you got a few more that you want to work for next year with the Mexican Baseball Fiesta and Mr. Frank, as we call him. There's a Frank and a Francis. Francis is the dad, and he is played for Hermosillo. Was a very popular baseball player, is also, and him and Mike started the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. Was it 14 years ago? Or
14 years ago.
14 years. Yep. God, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's their 14th year this year.
So the conversations are going well to hopefully bring a game to Bisbee.
Would have happened. Casa Grande did. I mean, Central Arizona, Pinal County happened right this year. So Bisbee was on the schedule. They scheduled it. Bisbee, unfortunately, at that time, because Warren Ballpark is overseen by the school district down there, felt like this year wasn't the right year for it, right? But as you know, there's a new tourism group down in Bisbee, and they're starting to maneuver a little bit. So we're hitting that trail pretty hard.
Yeah, I see no reason why Bisbee Forward wouldn't be your partner behind this thing. We generally just know him as Steve. We haven't had a chance to actually have our first meeting with him, but we're looking forward to helping Bisbee Forward, which is kind of like a chamber. And probably by now they've signed the DMO contract, a destination marketing organization contract. So I think it's going to be an exciting time. And anything for Bisbee is good for the Highway 80 historical group, because as you know, the historical Highway 80 was the all-weather east-to-west route. And it was somewhat competing with Route 66 because Route 66 was not the all-weather route. It was affected by winter. So Bisbee is right along Highway 80. It gets business from, Tombstone and from Benson. And, of course, if you keep going, you're going to hit the border. But before you do that, you'll hit Douglas. And I know you've been in conversation with Douglas.
Douglas has been great. So, Dave Nevins and Douglas at the Visitor Center. I work with a lot of the people with Cochise County, obviously, down there. But, yeah, Douglas has been phenomenal, very supportive. I mean, we started the Arizona Mural That's Trail right. and launched that, and that was really the brainchild of Dave Nevins. So, I want to make sure that he gets credit for that. And then Diana Wilson, who does our website, DBA Advertising, her and her husband Wade have been all over that. They're down there right now, actually, pushing it out and selling it and trying to make sure that everybody has a place on the Mural Trail.
Yeah, so when the original sports authority really devoted almost all of its time to sports.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rick Vaughn, we'll give credit where credit is due, was on the board. Mike Fader was the executive director. We had Eddie Leon,
yeah.
Dan Schneider. These were all great baseball players. So we had a great makeup of the original Sports and Tourism Authority. And
just so everybody, you know this, and I want to make sure everybody knows that, but I'm not here without Dan Schneider, right? I'm not here without Tom Tracy. I'm not here without you, Tom. So just a big shout out. And Dan was a phenomenal baseball player. I think he was the first All-American out of the University of Arizona, played in the big leagues
yes.
for a very long time, he's become a very successful businessman. Somebody that I talk to almost on a daily basis and just so fortunate for you guys to be in my life. And I don't think Tucson is where it is without them. And then we had some younger superstars at that time that have gone on and ran either sports authorities commissions or actually market study data collection, all that stuff, those kind of companies. Then John Schmieder out of Huddle Up, and I think Vince Trinidad was around then. We had some local superstars at that time, so Tucson was cooking.
Yeah. The quick story about Vince Trinidad, Mr. Huckleberry, the county administrator, was the trend was to increase the bed tax or the transient lodging tax, and we were at 2%. And 1% went to Visit Tucson, and another percent went to the stadium district. So what happened was when we were going from 2 to 6%, Mr. Huckleberry dispatched me and Rick Vaughn from Visit Tucson. How would we spend that additional 4%? And at that time, each percent was worth 1.5 million dollars. So those were great meetings. We got the dream, and we came up with a vision, and so 1% went to my department, which was tourism and economic development for the attractions. We decided 3% would go to Visit Tucson, which again, that 1.5 million times 3. Biggest budget they've ever had.
Yeah.
And then we decided that the other 2% would go to the renovation of the stadium. And when the Sports and Tourism Authority was reformed, our primary mission was to try to save spring training. So we spent $5 million. Not too many people know this. To renovate the stadium. So the 20th, the new grass,
mm-hmm.
we didn't need the new grass then. But
yeah.
We needed paint, and we needed to fix the seats, and we needed to spend a little bit of love on the exterior scoreboard. And this was all to be competitive, because what was happening with the Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority, they had all this money, and they were giving it to towns to build new stadiums.
Yeah, overseeing the Cactus League. I mean, they built the State Farm Stadium. They're our big brother organization, so they've been very kind to us. Phoenix has actually, Tom, I know people in Tucson don't like to hear it. Phoenix has been extremely kind to us, right? They've reached out. They've been partners. They've helped me along. They've provided advice. But when you're talking about renovating the stadiums, you go up to Phoenix or you go to Maricopa County and you go to some of those stadiums, they're big league stadiums for spring training, which you don't find. They're incredible. I mean, where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are right now it's a big league stadium.
I think Keno and Peoria, the stadium in Peoria,
mm-hmm.
Were built by the same architect.
They were.
And we started the larger center. So the for training, they separated the minor league and the big league folks, so they had to have their own clubhouse and so on. So I think the trend, we were part of that in larger, more professional baseball stadium trend. And then when the sports and tourism, or the sports authority, which was the old Maricopa Stadium District, maybe went into, and they got some tax dollars, and we grew the Cactus League, okay? But it was never intended to grow the Cactus League by adding two new teams from Tucson. It was meant to go after the Grapefruit League.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a long story, and we won't get into it there in this conversation, but there was never any malicious intent when the Cactus League worked with the state to go after new baseball teams. And I was on a board. I was on the board at that time, the Cactus League. And I have to tell you, we were absolutely shocked when the decision came down that the Arizona had to be part of the RFP process to find new teams. And even equally more shocked when we heard that that the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the White Sox could be part of that RFP process. And there was a lot of political fallout from that between the Southern Arizona. And you know what? So we're rebuilding. I mean, so the bottom line is that's history, right? And along comes a wonderful person, and I think you should give him some credit, and we'll do that when we come back. Well, we're back, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we've been spending, boy, does time fly, Blake. Of course, when you got a marketing guy behind the mic here, he has a tendency to, as we were talking, he likes to talk. So, hey, that's why I'm the host. But, Blake, we want to wrap this great show today of let's talk a little bit about, because what's been behind the startup of any sports authority has been the state legislature.
Yeah, especially for us, right? I mean, I think you guys were county driven, and yes. we were trying to do something similar. I believe that was Edgar Soto, our chair's dream and baby, and when he took it to Senator David Gowen. David Gowen said there's a need in Southern Arizona for it as a whole. So he expanded to six counties. He included the workforce development. He included the film piece, not just tourism and sports. And a lot of people think it's just sports tourism. They're separated. Everything has its own little aisles that they work in. So we are beyond fortunate to have somebody like Senator David Gowen that championed it and took it to the Senate, then took it to the House. And we spent a lot of time at the Capitol. I laugh because it was a lot of time. I mean, I remember like cold calling representatives just to be up there, and we would just wait all day at the Capitol just to have 5 minutes with somebody. And then Edgar and I were able to sit on a Senate ad hoc committee, and we were able to discuss that and talk about that. So,
well, yeah, I was at one of those meetings where you had an opportunity to address the committee, and they were so really for bringing back baseball.
Filming and baseball were the two things that people really tried to sink their teeth into, and that the film incentive bill was our sister bill, so I was fortunate enough to work on that quite a bit, and Peter Catalanate, our film chair and the director of Film Tucson, kind of ran that and directed it, and so it was a really good crash course on how all these industries work.
Now, you do have a website.
We do, yeah. SASTFA.com, SASTFA.com.
Yes, and
go on there.
That's S as in Sam.
Sam,
not Frank.
No, I mean if you want to know somebody that's not very good at enunciating, you pulled that person on the show.
No, you know, it's called phonetics, and I had a whole class in college, so I know exactly the alphabet that you have that sound like each other.
Yeah,
and then sometimes when you put a heavy accent on top of that, you really need to spell. And tell, well, yeah, that's S as in Sam and F as in Frank, and you know, and one of the folks you mentioned, or two of the folks you mentioned, was Dan Schneider and Tom Tracy, and they were very instrumental in both of the organizations. We had a great board. You have a great board. We had a lot of sports people. We're going to be back at 8 o'clock, and we got a great. We're going to talk about Christmas and holiday and cheer and hot chocolate and all kinds of things. We got the GM here from Old Tucson. Yuletide, we're going to talk about Christmas and the holiday. Thank you, Blake, for coming.
Can I just throw a big shout out to Matt and the music that he chooses to play on the show? It's just
you do
a great job, man. So thanks Matt. It's always a pleasure. Really appreciate it.
All right, we have a hard break. We'll see you at 8 o'clock. Well, we're back. Thank you. Couldn't hear myself. We're back. It's a Thursday, and it's a tourism Thursday. And we had a great interview with Blake Eager from SASI, you know, so Southern Arizona Sports Tourism Film Authority. So it's a mouthful. That's why Blake introduced his acronym for us. But today we're talking about everything that's fun. And boy, I have to tell you, we just came off a very successful, what was it? Was it the 33rd year, or what was the nightfall? Oh, by the way, I should introduce and say good morning to Tony Sanders, general manager. He's almost like a brother. We're fellow GMs, me, of course, being the past, and Tony being the present, general manager of Old Tucson. And he just came off a successful nightfall. What was the year again? How many nightfalls have you done?
It was 33 years.
Remembered that, 33 years. And I was back in 97, 98, 99, 2000. So I had an opportunity to be part of four nightfalls from the management end.
Sure.
And let me just tell you, it's a lot more fun as a guest.
Yeah. I enjoy the part where we get to be creative up front.
Yes.
And then get to sit back and enjoy the operations. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, and of course, the team that does a great job. And nothing but kudos to you and the team and the shows and everything for Nightfall. And also, I should applaud you excuse me, to make sure that there's a entertainment for the kids, the families.
Yes, so we still keep that going. We devote that whole kids section as what we call Silver Lake area near the train over there, and we continue to keep that going for kids during that event. So
yeah. Now we should say good morning to our co-host, Tim Bimmerstedt. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, so, you know, Tim was the director of sales when I started in 1997. We stole him away from Trail Dust Town. And by the way, shout out to Casey. Trail Dust Town is becoming a wonderful special event facility.
Oh, yeah.
And Trail Dust Town and Old Tucson are not enemies. Through the SAAA, we all work together. And so we're proud of not only Tony, but we're also proud of Casey as well, and all the things that he's doing out there. It just really has elevated everything that he does out there. And they're different, completely different environments.
Oh, yeah.
Old Town movie studio versus Western Shopping with some rides. And they both have C.P. Huntington's. They both have Alan Herschel carousels, and of course I've talked to Tony about they renovated theirs, so it's time now for Tony to renovate his carousel. And you know, when Alan Herschel's been around, I don't know how old that ride is, but it's safe, we know that, okay, and the maintenance guys take care of it. But you know, after 40 years of butts sitting on the seats, sometimes a little pain helps. And so but it's a classic carousel. And yes, absolutely. Alan Herschel was one of the first kind of mass-produced carousels, and then Chance Manufacturing took them over. And they, along with the C.P. Huntington, I can't imagine people affording a brand-new C.P. Huntington. So if you were to sell one of those, and I'm thank goodness the previous management team did not sell the C.P. Huntingtons, because they are a classic. But you did sell the antique cars, but I think just not too long ago you announced the return.
That's correct. We brought them back. We brought back the Family Classic antique cars. We call them the antique autos now, but we definitely brought them back because it was something our guests wanted, and it's a great family attraction. So
you can put four in there.
Yeah, correct. We bought the four seater cars,
You tune into the Facebook because you'll see a picture of Tony and I standing next to one of those cars. So, I think I told you, Tony, that at Westview Park in Pittsburgh, I started out as cleaning the bathrooms midway with the Shark, which was a midway sweeper. You came out of there just covered with dust. And then I got elevated to the Rockoplane. And the Rockoplane was a great ride because people lost their change.
Yeah.
So the end of each night, I would probably get $10, $20 worth of change. That was a lot of money back in the 70s. And then I made it big. I became the antique cars lead. And okay. I had my first crew, and I had 10 in the crew because we were open 7 days a week, and we had probably 15 cars. We had one of those really large, not as large as Disneyland's, you know, car attraction. But, yeah, so we had on and again, hopping, telling people not to bump, running out into the track because we did have some areas that you couldn't see, and they were not bumper cars. Sure. Hopefully you're not having that problem.
No, we're not having that problem. That was something we identified up front. So
it's a great classic ride like the carousel. Yeah. So I'm so happy you brought that back. And it, you know, and Tony does keep promising me, and of course Tony can't wait for me to say this again, one day there will be a steam locomotive. I got to keep up my pressure on you, Tony, because I think the last time you mentioned, he says you were looking at that, and it's very possible.
Our parent company is a train company. That is their history, their passions, not all of them, and we are exploring that option.
So. Now we're going to talk about Yuletide. Now, I've seen it, because I've written it different ways. When you say Yuletide, do you say a Christmas celebration or holiday celebration, or what are the words that you're using in your advertising after Yuletide?
We always say that it's a Western Christmas event or celebration.
And it is.
It is. That's because it is focused on the town of the West Pole.
That's right. I remember that now. And what this new management agreement that Pima County has is with an outfit out of Durango.
Correct.
And
American Heritage Railways.
That's right. And if you go on Old Tucson's website, you can see all the different attractions that this organization's involved in, including that thing, that little train ride that Tom Hanks made popular.
That's true. The company is involved with the Polar Express events across the world, actually. 52 locations around the world that they assist, license, or operate. So,
and I saw a commercial, so there is actually an operating train, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the cartoon digital Tom Hanks. This is real Polar Express.
That's correct. You board a train, you get a whole Polar Express experience. There's actors, there's lights and sound and music, and of course, you get the cookies and the whole experience for Polar Express.
So you definitely have one up on Universal Studios, because it took them years to actually have a Hogsmeade Express, right? I mean, you go to Universal Studios and you saw the an engine.
Yeah.
But that's all you saw.
Yeah.
And then when they introduced the new studio, they finally created a real train. But you guys had yours operating long before that.
Yeah, I mean, the park is just wonderful in all these aspects of Christmas and the holidays and our train ride. And well, even this year's train, our experience for our guests this year at Yuletide is we have lit the train up itself so that when you're going around, it's fully lit up.
Oh, yeah, because you can look and see this wonderful thing going out.
Going through the desert.
Of course, you have is a narrated train ride.
Correct.
And what are you talking about in this narration?
Just talking about generally the West Pole.
Okay.
the experience.
The storyline behind the West Pole. And there is this jolly guy that kind of oversees the West Pole, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You got him to come out of the North Pole to the West Pole.
Yeah, that's right. The famous man himself. He's
And he kicks it off every single night.
That's correct.
So you do your Christmas tree lighting, not like communities one time. You do a Christmas tree celebrated lighting every single day that Yuletide is taking place.
That's right. Every night. We are open at 5:30. You can find Santa and Mrs. Claus there. They're lighting up that tree with the team. So,
you know, and Mrs. Claus has her own place that she hangs out.
She does.
And I've actually, you know, had, I think this is your third Yuletide or the
third.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful family event. I mean,
oh, it is.
It, there's nothing teen about it, even though obviously teenagers are part of the family. But this is bring the little kids, bring the grandmother. I mean, even the simple little things like hot chocolate
that you mentioned.
And you now have an opportunity for a souvenir cup.
Correct. Park introduced a souvenir hot cocoa cup this year that is, you buy it. Once you buy it, you get dollar refills with it. So
how much
for the entire time?
How much hot chocolate can you really drink?
Oh,
I think we need to find out, Tom.
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, Tony, I know you thought about this, but you probably didn't bring anything with you, but that's okay. But I think, Matt, what do you think about having Tony give away a couple of tickets to go Yuletide on there? So
since we're calling an audible, I just want to make sure we're clear. So I'll get their phone number and give it to you guys. Is that how we're going to do it?
They're you want their phone number and you need their email.
Sure, yeah, phone number, okay. Name, email.
How many pairs do you want to give away? And we'll light this candle.
Let's do four pairs of tickets.
Four pairs. Oh, my goodness.
And for each of those that I'll give away, I'm going to give them a souvenir cup.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The phone should be ringing
You heard the man. He lit the candle. Give me a call, 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040, and you'll get a pair as long as they last. I got four pairs of tickets to Old Tucson Yuletide at Old Tucson.
And the only thing they need to do to qualify is to tell us the name of the event that we're talking about. Oh, Matt, you just said it. So, guys, it should be almost the first four callers. But thank you, Tony, for that.
Sure.
I think tell us a little before we get – well, actually, we've got to take our first break, and then we'll get into all of the details because there's a lot going on. I mean, what do you think? Four hour with a meal? 5 hour with a meal?
Or 5 hours with a
five
meal.
5 hours with a meal. 5 hours. Okay, that's a lot of time to spend at Old Tucson, and it's jam-packed full of entertainment. So we'll be right back, and we'll learn more about a Old West at Christmas over only at Old Tucson. This is Tom Moulton, and this is The Morning Voice.
Congratulations to our winners so far, Nancy and Al. So they'll be going to Old Tucson Studios, Yuletide at Old Tucson, which they correctly identified from the great clues given in the last segment.
we could have made it a little bit more difficult. And so what is Yuletide, you know? And the way you're marketing Yuletide is, Tony, is the Old West.
You know, guys, the social media you're putting out there, Tony, it just looks wonderful. The pictures are stunning. So I can't wait to go out there myself and see it.
It's great. It's great.
Well, I think truly the word is when you have that many lights, it's magical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what lights will do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have a Christmas celebration without a tremendous amount of lights.
Yeah,
and it was somewhat a tradition when I was there, Tony, back in 1998. Terry Verhey, former GM out there and games manager and merchandise manager, said, "You know, we need to get some more families here, guys." So we had to talk to our owners, who were very, very. They understood communities, okay, and they, you know, built that basically the Jewish Community Center. But the discussion, what kind of Christmas was, you know, never discussed or debated. It was that we needed to have a traditional Christmas, and that meant, you know, songs that were Christian Christmas songs, and other non, denominational songs. And we put together, I was telling Tony this story last night, was that we had a story about the birth of Jesus Christ, 45-minute musical in the Grand Palace. And I can remember after halfway through the first ever holiday event, we got called into the office of the owners, and they were asking us what we would thought were kind of strange questions, because we were all celebrating, you know, in our staff meeting. And then the owners come in and they go, how come you're over budget? And the team and I looked at each other, and he said, and finally, I think it was Terry, you know, had enough moxie to say what he needed to say. Well, Helene, it's because we only budgeted for X, and we're now on XXY, which means we were 20,000 people above budget. And she looked at us with puzzling and says, oh, does that mean that you have to put more staff? And yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Helene. And, you know, so we're looking at the net here for you, okay? And when you have 4,000 people show up and you're only expecting 2,000, you got to put staff to accommodate, you know, not only just the shows, because there's so much more than just the shows, the street characters, the choirs, the tech people. I mean, Tony, I'm sure your boss looks at the labor maybe too much sometimes, but with my experience, but you have to also put it into the gross revenue that comes in as well. And so it was the right thing to do Christmas. And I'm so happy that the Durango Group, Heritage Railroad, has brought and let you really bring back a wonderful family. So some of the things that are going on, Tony, can I share that
sure.
with us?
Well, in addition to the lights everywhere in the park that we have, we've brought in 7 all-new shows. So all-new shows.
All-new shows.
Yeah. One of them is a great musical called Glow. It's all about the Wish Candle Factory, that where you get your wish candles for Christmas. And there's a whole audience participation portion to this show.
Is that in the Grand Palace?
In the Grand Palace, okay. That's correct. We have an assortment of lineup, but we also have a great stunt show this year that focuses on one of the Christmas-related creatures around the holiday.
Mission or in
the, at the what we call the Legends Arena now, which is
I was trying to struggle there on what you were calling. Yeah, you know, where you took the side of a building, much like Trail Dust Town did. There isn't a side or a back at Trail Dust Town, so the general manager at that time, we recommended he was the CEO, and I was the GM for about 8 months together. We worked together, and we said, "Let's do what Trail Dust Town does." And he goes, "Oh yeah, let's go ahead and take the side of this building and build a new set." And we moved the bleachers out of the Carousel Theater, which is we now the merry-go-round.
Oh yes,
And they're great bleachers, the way sure. you have it configured. So that's a great show place.
Yeah, no, it's really turned out to be a great venue. And the show this year is just, it's actually a very fun and heartwarming show about Krampus.
Krampus?
it's about okay. Krampus. So, and we also brought Krampus into the event itself within the Legend of Krampus at the Iron Door Mine.
Oh.
So guests can actually walk through and see Krampus and his sinister friends all decorated up. And it's not too scary, but just okay. the right amount of scare.
Yeah, for the folks that have been around, that used to be what we used to call in the industry a dark ride. And you were in little mine cars, and you learned all about mining. Well, kind of the sinister side of mining. And we converted it to a walkthrough. And obviously a curated sometimes walkthrough, and sometimes on your own. It's 2-story, so it's quite large.
Yeah. It's great.
So you have really amazing storytelling opportunities.
Oh, it's excellent, and we have great characters in there. The kids will, even the scary portions of it, it's great. It's just very detailed and themed. And in addition to these shows and live interactions, we have all of our rides, all of our attractions. We have experiences, too. This year, we introduce the Elves Workshop, so guests can go in. They can create little crafts for their family members. They can also write letters to Santa, which will get responded to every letter that we help get to Santa, Santa will respond to.
Now, how's he responding? Is he doing email or is he doing text?
Oh, no, it's a handwritten response. A handwritten letter gets mailed out. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's neat.
We really want the experience to be that family experience and fun. So,
oh, that's fantastic. And you also have the choirs there too.
We have carolers. Yeah. We have local community choirs and performance groups. I mean, we are just packed full. And I honestly don't even know that the 5 hours covers everything.
There is a pass. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and I'm here with Tony Sanders. He's the GM. He's a visionary. I mean, you're going to hear all kinds of wonderful things more about Yuletide when we come back. Well, we're back, and we're talking about an Old West Christmas at Old Tucson called Yuletide. And, you know, I've been telling Tony some of the things that we discovered in 1999 and 2000 when we did the first holiday ever. And Old Tucson came up with the first Halloween. So October, you would think October would be a huge month. Well, not until we had Nightfall. Was it a big month? And, you know, and I was telling that probably over the course of the how long has it been now? You've been there 2 years, 3 years?
3 years.
Three years. I was telling Tony that we used to measure Nightfall and we did 1 million gross, okay? And then when Pete Mangelsdorf took it over, he raised the prices a little bit, and he turned it into $1 million net. So I'm not asking Tony to reveal any secrets here, but that was quite the growth when you go from 1 million gross to 1 million net. And you can imagine that cash flow for any business was wonderful. And that allowed us to do our first Old West holiday. And we, you know, doing a 45-minute musical was not cheap. We brought in Triple Threats. As well as some of our own folks that were there. We always did classes. We always encouraged the stunt people, Tony, to do other things. So we had a fellow, a guy named Dave Gerton, you may have heard that name, but he would conduct classes to help the actors grow in whatever role they wanted, whether it be singing or whether it be reverse dancing or stunts. So we were cross training.
Sure,
it was scary from a litigation side as well. And we had a few broken bones here and there, over the years. But the bottom line is that it was kind of like having acting class and dancing class and vocal coaching, all done by Dave Gerton and Maria, who were both opera singers. Both appeared in Broadway. David actually moved to Tucson, so it was easy to get it done. And as a matter of fact, and I think that's probably why I got a job, Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, had his daughter in one of her show in the palace as a dancer, and she wanted to sing.
Oh,
so she was. I invited her to join the singing coaching class, and now I can't tell you to this day how much her singing improved, but I can tell you that because of Old Tucson, and you've heard stories, especially the Cedar Point entertainers, she went off to Las Vegas and starred in one of the big shows that, what's the name of those, the trapeze guys? And
the Cirque du Soleil?
Yes. She went to work for as a dancer, professional dancer, and had a wonderful career before she got married. And there's a little-known story. You'll love this one. We sent two stunt guys to the stunt class to get their professional stunt certificate. And it was, I don't know if it was Universal Studios was doing it or something. And one of them went on to be Batman at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Okay. That's great.
You know, fun. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm Batman. Yeah, I'm Batman. You know, and it, he was dating Chuck's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And so the claim to fame, when she came back one day, maybe 2 years ago, or maybe, you know, you guys were running it then, and I knew she was getting to town, so I met her at Old Tucson, and I said, did you marry Batman? She goes, oh, no, I didn't. She introduced her husband to it. And I said, well, I got to really know, what was it like dating Batman?
Well.
You know what she said? Can I take a ride in his car?
That's
and there's a Batmobile at the Tucson Auto Museum from one of the movies. So, you know, you can definitely, if you want to see Batman's car from the series, the Adam West series, you can go in the Tucson Auto Museum. So we were going to talk about a little bit more about some of the I think what's been really great about Nightfall and for the holiday event is it starts with a kickoff event.
Correct.
And with Nightfall, we had the gargoyles up mm-hmm. there.
That's right.
You know, saying wonderful things about you. And and actually, you know, it was a comedy thing.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And you brought it back because it was gone for a while. It's kind of like.
Yeah, we brought the gargoyles back. And then for our Yuletide, we introduced the goose on the roof. So it's a take on the Elf on the Shelf.
So that's cool.
Yes.
So what? But you're there preparing for something.
Preparing
bigger.
for that bigger opening ceremony for the tree lighting ceremony, which then leads into our carolers, which then leads into other shows all through the night. One of the things I think that has been a huge hit for us is story time with Mrs. Claus.
Yes.
We bring the kids in, they sit around with Mrs. Claus, she tells them stories, and they actually leave with something in their hand. And I don't want to give it away because I want the kids and families to go and enjoy that story, but they actually leave with something out of the room at the time. So
it's probably not what you and I remember from 10 or so years ago, where there was a computer program and you answered 10 questions or whatever it was, and then a storybook was developed and printed out in the gift shop. Remember that? And you had a story about you. And that was a big hit for kids, you know, especially ones that were just starting to read. But you'll have to go to Yuletide in order to find out.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a good tease there. So how does Santa arrive from the North Pole to the West Pole?
So Santa flies in.
Okay.
that's obvious. He's got to fly in.
So the reindeer are off camera.
The reindeer take a little break. They're not really visual now. You know, we put them up. They're taking their break. They're getting ready for the big day, right?
Right.
So, but when he comes to the West Pole, he flies in. We actually, the reason why the West Pole exists is that's where we produce the bells that help his sleigh fly. Through all the mining process and everything in the area, he's able to produce those bells and put them on the sleigh and then get up in the air to deliver those presents.
You know, I did not know that Saint Nick depended on bells.
Yeah, they're magical bells.
I thought it was all about Rudolph and, you know.
Well, that's part of it is the reindeer and the magical nose, you know. So, but they need those great bells to help the sleigh get up and fly too. So we've introduced some unique experiences all around. We also have a sing-along wagon ride that guests can load into, and they'll take them out. We've actually decorated the whole High Chaparral set, so guests can ride up to High Chaparral on a wagon while they're singing Christmas songs.
So you go past the little train station, you go underneath the High Chaparral, and then you see this wonderful lit.
Correct. It's all lit
second
up.
Second part of the town, really.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. We decided to take the guest up and let them see that and just experience that unique environment. But you're singing along the whole time in the wagon. And that line, all night long, people are just waiting. They want to get on that sing-along
you
wagon.
You probably have two wagons, right?
Yeah, we could. That probably
capacity,
would help.
Capacity. Remember that, Tony. Especially as you get closer to Christmas and the family started arriving.
Sure.
You know, it, you know, so that it was the pattern pretty much go now. Because the crowds aren't as big, but if you wait a week before Christmas, that line might be a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. We definitely recommend come now. And we have two different options and tickets this year.
Okay.
We have peak days and non-peak days. Now, the non-peak days, everyone pays kids' price.
Okay.
So, but if you come on a peak day, there's an adult and kid price. Right. So, but if you come on non-peak, you're going to save money. You're going to get the exact same experience for less.
Yeah, and I do want to thank you regarding the our passport family.
Oh, yeah.
It's a buy one, get the second one for 50% off, and there's no restrictions. And so if you don't have a passport, go to it's probably the best thing to do is go to our new AOT site, because they're a sponsor, but explorearizonaattractions.com. We do have exploretucsonattractions.com as well, but we had, in order to work with AOT, they wanted us to start marketing beyond the Southern Arizona County. So we were talking about a brand new commercial. Video commercial that's coming out, and it's being produced in Arizona Office of Tourism through their rural grant program, helped offset some of the costs. So that will be introduced in just, I'm hoping, next week. It will do a little kickoff. I don't know exactly all the details yet, but this was a big time video. Last time this company did one was 2012. And we didn't have rights till you show it on the internet. This one, we have full rights to be the Abbott. And so we've hired Man Media, which is a big digital company here in town, big full service agency. We're going to give them the video, and then it's up to them. I should have hired your company. But and maybe I will be asking you about that. We'll be right back, and we're going to wrap up. We've learned a lot about Yuletide and Old West kind of Christmas. And, you got to go now. And we'll talk a little bit about the schedule when we come back, Tony.
Sure.
This is The Morning Voice, and thank you for all listening, and we gave all the prizes away. I don't know if you want to give a shout out to those people when we come back, but thank you for listening, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back, and we're with Tony's general manager of Old Tucson, and he and I exchange general manager stories all the time. But we're going to get right back, because we only just a few minutes. But hey, Tim Vimmerstedt, good morning again.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, do me a big favor, and I just want you to mention real quick. You got 1 minute. The three other events that are going on regarding the holidays.
Sure, we have Lights Up. This is a festival of illumination at Tucson Botanical Gardens, and our dear friend Michelle Conklin is putting on a heck of a display. We have holiday nights at Tohono O'Toole. That starts December 5th, so tomorrow, and runs through December 21st. And that's an amazing event. And then on December 6th, Sunday, we have the Downtown Parade of Lights and Festival, 31st annual. So that's going on.
Yeah, that's at Armory Park, but it's a
Armory Park.
Yeah, it's a parade throughout downtown, and it's the 31st annual. And I know about this because the Arizona Bowl, as you know, I'm a volunteer, they have a float. They had a float last year, putting that big old inflatable helmet on, and it, I think
that's always so cool.
Well, I think the wind almost blew it away last year, but I think they figured out how to anchor it down a little bit better.
Yeah,
there was nobody in it, but I've heard stories about these jumping castles that take off with little kitties in it, you know, because it wasn't anchored down. But real quickly, I got to get back to Tony, but where are the two places you need to go to find out more details on these two or these activities?
This is Tucson.com and visittucson.org are the two places you can find out about all these activities and all the other fun events going on in Tucson.
Including Nightfall. What did I say? Yuletide. Nightfall. No. Yuletide. Wait a minute. We talked about Nightfall.
Yuletide.
All right. Well, Matt, I had to have at least one thing on your sheet for to let me know how I screwed up. Yuletide. That's what we're talking about. Tony's here, and anything else you want to share with this? Because I know you have some ticket things again. You started talking about, but you really need to go find out more because there's so much going on and. I think we established that you ought to set 6 hours to go.
Yeah. Well, the event only runs for five.
Oh,
but we have different options that we obviously have our season pass. And by the way, we'll be introducing our 2026 season passes very soon. So those will come out soon. But you were talking about the SAAA passport.
Yes, yes.
And so if guests buy that SAAA passport, they'll be able to come to the park and use that discount on that non-peak night as well.
Oh, that's great.
So they're going to save one, half a ticket price
right.
on that as
and,
well.
And,
so.
And there's so much activity going on. Obviously, that's why you came up with that really affordable price.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a deal, or heck of a deal. Oh, I got another one. Two of them, Matt.
You're going to be in trouble.
I'm in real trouble with the FCC today. But it's a great event. I mean, I've been to all two of them. I haven't been to the third one yet. But I got my two tickets. I'm ready to go. Old Tucson, right after holiday, is going to be open in January for the Old West experiences again.
Yeah, we're bringing back the Wild West Adventures starting January 17th.
Yeah.
And then we're going to run through the spring all the way up till May. But we're going to have a packed full. It's going to be 20 events and 26. So we're kicking off January with multiple events, and then
right.
we have the Sons of the Pioneers in January. So
we saw you bringing them
we're
back.
We're rolling.
Yeah, yeah and
that's cool.
So and remember your season pass at Old Tucson. Your passport is good through 365 days when you buy the annual passport. 365 days from the day you go to your first attraction. So think about all the things there are to do at Old Tucson, and we love to see you out there and learn more about the West Pole. And St. Nick is there. We won't talk about, well, he does have a helper called Papa Noel, but Papa Noel will be there December 10th, but that's a private party. So, thank you very much for being on the Morning Voice.